grabbed her hand and held it away from me. I said, what's wrong? What can I do? I have a splinter. Do you have to pull it out? And so I looked at it, and we talked about it, and her feelings were very clear. She did not want me to pull that splinter out. And she made them quite clear. I wasn't misunderstanding. In fact, there was one point when I was merely wishing to look at it, and she was running away from me, trying very hard to keep me from getting anywhere close to her injured finger. Evidently, she'd had some kind of rough experience with extractions in the past and knew that this was going to be painful. Well, I explained to her what happens when a splinter sticks in your finger and festers and gets infected, and that it really needed to come out. And she said, no, this is not something she had any interest in. And she wanted me to be very clear that before I got close to her, I promised that I would not pull this splinter out. So I didn't. I said, okay, I won't pull it out. I looked at it more closely. It really did need to come out. It was going to be relatively simple to pull out, but I'd given my word. So we put a little tape on it, and we left it. A day later, she's still nursing this thing, and I can tell it hurts her a lot. And I felt pretty sorry for her. I explained again how you need to pull splinters out. No, she wasn't interested. Well, Karen and I talked about it, and we realized that this is actually something we have to do. So I explained it to her that we have to pull this thing out or it's going to damage her. It could get infected. And this was a really unpleasant moment for her. So I held her, and it was a hard job for me. I'm a lot bigger than Zenny is, but she was very determined to not let us pull this splinter out. Well, I eventually managed to hold her steadily enough for Karen to extract the splinter. And the rest of that day, Zenia was just pretty cold towards me. And so later on in the day, I realized there's a problem here. So I sat down with her, and I explained again what happens when things get infected and how bad it would have been if her finger had gotten infected. And this time she seemed to understand a little bit more. It made a little bit more sense. She didn't have this emotional baggage around the idea of extracting this thing. She listened a little differently. And after that, she felt better about her and I's relationship. And she seemed to feel more certain that I was not out to get her or to hurt her or to be mean to her. I think that just like Zenia, we often assume that God is punishing us or just being mean to us when he is in fact redeeming the situation we're in. In order to worship the Father this morning, I would like to take a careful look at one of his attributes, that of he is our Redeemer. So I want to look at redemption and how God is redemptive. Now, when we zero in on one of God's attributes, one of the problems we have is we can sometimes pull it out and make it bigger than all the others. And that's not the right way to deal with God. You can't piece God into little bits like this, okay? We have to do it because we're humans and we can't make sense of all of him at once. But let's remember that his attributes don't cancel each other out. Rather, his attributes reinforce each other. So, to give some examples, his justice makes his mercy more merciful. His holiness makes his love more astonishing. So they work together. And in much the same way, I think God's redemptive nature gives purpose to his love and keeps his justice from being merely punitive. So he's not just punishing us. There's redemption that works with these other attributes. Let's look at a few texts. Now, trying to isolate any of God's attributes from his others is always hard, and especially redemption is something that's all through the Old and New Testaments. So I'm only giving a couple of sample texts that you can go to. There are plenty more, and often his redemptive nature is embedded in the story in such a way that it's obvious without being overt. And so it can be sometimes a little bit difficult to find texts that use the word redemption or redemptive or redeemed, but it's there in practically every passage that we talk about God. Intermixed with it is his redemptive nature. So here are a couple. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong reference. This is John 3, verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Galatians 13 and 14. 13, verses 13 and 14. Still gave you the wrong one. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. And Revelations 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We might say that redemption is a rescue, and that's true. We might say that redemption is a buying back of humanity from the law. That also has truth, part of the truth to it. I think N.T. Wright uses the words putting things back to rights for redemption. It seems to be uniquely associated with the second person of the Trinity. So Jesus, the embodiment of God in human flesh, seems to uniquely reflect God's redemptive heart. I think there's another aspect to it that's important as well, that is maybe just a little less overt in the texts we read, and that would be that redemption is not a rewinding of history. So God isn't taking us and erasing all of human history and making it a clean slate again. Rather, it gives purpose to the events of history. For instance, Jesus in Revelations is depicted as having scars. So it's not God the Son in perfect before crucifixion perfection. It's rather God the Son with scars from the crucifixion that bring him honor. In Revelation, we see the martyrs given a special place in heaven. Their history isn't erased either. Rather, those scars from the damage that humanity has done are given new purpose, are given new meaning. Christians are called to be living sacrifices in Romans 12. So there's this sacrificial element built into our history. So I don't think that this redemptive process, this redemptive heart of God, means that he's going to take everything else away and make it just exactly like it was. He's going to incorporate the stories that have happened and make them beautiful. Even the damage is beautiful by the time he's done with it. God wants to redeem all of humanity and all of our lives. And his redemptive nature causes him to use the events in our lives to bring about his purposes. Even if we don't understand how anything good could come out of these painful situations. Now, Xenia eventually understood the reason that I held her against her will. She learned that I was doing it because I loved her. But she still remembers the pain. Yet, the memory no longer makes her question my motives. Rather, it reminds her that I love her enough to do painful and unpleasant things to her in order to fix a much bigger problem. I hope we can learn a similar lesson about our Heavenly Father. Let us worship God as our Redeemer and as the only one who can fully redeem all of the pain we experience in this life. Let's pray. Father, you are good. We assert that and we believe that. And we have experienced that. But there are times when our human experience here is so limited that we can't fully see how good you are, even in the painful situations. And yet we claim you are good, and we choose to believe that, and to have faith that eventually we will see how good you really are. We ask you to open our eyes and to keep us from believing wrong things about you. Forgive us when we have claimed or felt or even had a suspicion that you were doing something mean to us just because you were vindictive. Help us to not have that belief ever. Help us instead to see you as beautiful, as always good and always right, and help us to align ourselves with that truth. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Daryl, for